Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the show for entrepreneurs and coaches who want to increase profits and make a positive impact. With your host, internationally renowned business coach, profit expert, and number one best-selling author, J.V. Crum III.
Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the show for purpose-driven entrepreneurs and executives who want to create wealth and impact humanity. Now in our 10th season, the Conscious Million Network has over 4,000 episodes that's been heard by 100 million listeners. I'm your host, J.V. Crum III. Thank you for tuning in to the Conscious Millionaire Show. Hi, this is J.V. and I am so excited you joined me because you know this is more than a podcast and syndicated radio show. It's an entrepreneurial training especially for you. And if this is your first time checking out Conscious Millionaire, I am so excited you're here. I hope it's an amazing experience for you. And if you're a longtime listener, thank you for checking out this special featured episode. Either way, you can subscribe absolutely free for all 6 days a week by going to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. Now help me welcome our featured guest. He's a growth leader, a relentless optimist, and an ever-curious polymath with a Stanford JD MBA. He's also a US UK citizen who delivers high growth through digitally driven teams. The one to get it done by creating and amplifying go-to-market efforts. Building on this passion for growth at the convergence of digital and physical activities, he's mostly focused on deep tech. My guest, Roy Vella. Roy, welcome back to Conscious Millionaire.
Thanks, Jerry. Good to be back.
Well, you know, this is the Future is Now episode. And on it, you know, we talk about technology. How can we apply that to impact businesses, to create high levels of wealth and impact humanity in a positive way? And today we're going to talk about the explosion of exponential technologies. I'm in three tech groups because I'm just devouring everything. You're one of the leaders in one of those tech groups. But I'm curious, let's just start with exponential technologies. Give a working definition and then some examples of what's going on right now in the technology world.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, exponential is a word that people throw around casually, but it actually means something mathematically, right? And it is a curve that most people are familiar with, but they might not call it an exponential curve or a logarithmic curve. Fundamentally, it's a curve that's pretty flat for most of the time. And eventually you hit an elbow that's a very sharp turn vertically. Right. Humans have had exponential curves for a very long time. I mean, you know, one curve on just technology in the broadest use of the word, you could say that our first technology, you know, 3 million years ago, an ancestor to our species started using tools to bang things together and to make axes and rock knives. 2 million years ago, we started to use fire and cook our food. A million years ago, was the beginning of groups and tribes as hunter-gatherers working together, you know, as social animals. And, you know, now all of a sudden, in a very small window, we've started to go vertical as a species, right? So you can say that in the mid 1800s, as we really hit capitalism and the Industrial Revolution, we went vertical. I mean, right before that, we had agriculture, then writing, then the wheel, then the printing press, then the steam engine, then all of a sudden, whoosh, like technology went vertical. And the reason we're talking about exponential now versus talking about it even 10 or 20 years ago is AI, is because of the collision of big data sets and scale processing. And artificial intelligence, machine learning is making the exponential reality of our lives even more apparent.
So what's really interesting, and just to decode that in case this is new to you, and probably isn't, sure, but exponential is that everything is growing slowly, incrementally, and then all of a sudden you hit an inflection point where all of it's coming together at that right moment, and you go zoom, and you just have rapid growth, which is why it becomes, you know, vertical. And what's interesting is that's also kind of like a parabolic curve. But the difference is, because I've traded in the market, when you get a parabolic curve, you're probably going to correct 90% of it ultimately, because it's just like, sure, it's a sure mess. But in exponential technology, we're not going to correct it. And what I find interesting, because, you know, for a year now, I've been doing shows on AI and studying AI, is the fear and resistance people have. And I think that fear isn't actually of AI. I think that fear is actually of rapid change that creates a world that is so different than the one that they're conventionally living in, that it's just scary. It's just too much change in a very quick period of time. Whereas you and I and people like us can't change fast enough. So we're going, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. The fear of change is why we're here. Evolution, the people who survived were a little more skeptical, a little more paranoid, a little more, you know, fearful of something different.
But I think the people who are going to thrive now are the ones that are willing to embrace change, especially at a rapid speed. So let's take those that this explosion of exponential technologies and talk about how do entrepreneurs use this if they want to create high levels of wealth, but they'd also like to positively impact humanity. They want to bring the two together. Yeah. How are they going to use all these exponential technologies?
Yeah, no, the opportunity is vast, and the opportunity for positive impact is amazing at the moment, right? So so I think AI is poorly named. So artificial.
I do too. I don't think it's artificial intelligence.
It's, well, because artificial implies some sort of fakeness, some sort of lack of substantiveness to it. And it's, and even intelligence, I'm not even sure that's the right thing. I think at the moment I would prefer, say, augmented imagination. Right. So
I think that's a really good phrase.
It is an accelerant for your mind, for your brain, for the way you think about things. And it is a tool that you can interact with to leverage whatever you're working on to better effect. Right. And I think part of it is that people are, we have, 20 years of query response. Google has programmed us that you ask a question, you get an answer, and that's the end of the conversation, right? And you might evaluate if the answer is right or not and ask another question to get closer to the answer you were seeking. AI is not that. AI and large language models, the operative word in ChatGPT is chat. You are having a conversation that is interactive, that is iterative, that builds on itself. The biggest critique in the last 6 months to a year was like, oh, I asked it this thing and it was wrong. Well, it's not designed for accuracy. It's designed for believability. And it's designed to learn from you as you interact with it.
Well, that's a very important point, because my marketing guy and I each have our own, I just call them portals, for using ChatGPT, because how he does prompts and how I do prompts aren't the same. Two different people, right? And it's interesting because I took some of his prompts as an experiment and put them in my portal, got different answers. Now, they had similarity, but they weren't structured the same or anything. And I think it makes a difference as to how you see AI. For instance, we call AI in fact, he has a name and I have a name. So we've named, AI and said it's a collaborative team member. Now, when you approach it that way, and we're very polite and thank it and, go, hey, could you help us, with this? I think we get different results than people who think it's a software or mechanical. Correct. I think they get mechanical results.
Yeah, well, and it's not an algorithm that is static and giving you the same response every time. In fact, forget about, putting your queries into his or his queries into yours. You put your queries in again and you're going to get a different answer. Because like a human, it is generative. That's the word that, people banty around. They don't really think about it too much. It is generating an answer. It is generating a response based on every other response that's ever been had and everything it's had with you, right? So it is remembering the interactions with you and building on those and generating responses as a result. So it's not, and that's the other problem, is that we treat it as a computer And so we think that there is a algorithm in the background that input A always outputs B. And that does not happen. It's also why you have the builders of these tools telling you, well, I don't know how it did what it did. I don't know why it said that. And the regulators are like, well, what do you mean? You built it. Well, yeah, but that's a misunderstanding of what it is. It's not an equation. It's not X plus Y equals Z. That's not how it works.
Well, and the way we use it in my company is I don't think we ever put a prompt in that we don't end that prompt with, could you enhance this? Could you provide a list? Could you do this? And then many times spend half hour getting the prompt to be the ideal prompt.
And even setting context before the prompt. I want you to think step by step. I want you to lay out for me. I want you to take a breath, which is a very interesting prompt that people are discovering now, worse.
I haven't used that. So tell us some more about that. I like this.
So there's a prompt that is spreading around that says, I want you to take a breath and take your time and think about it step by step and work through an answer progressively, as opposed to just giving me a one-off sentence. And I'd like it to be, you know, like the more context you set for what you want. And the take a breath one, I think is...
I like this take a breath idea. Yeah.
It's very interesting, right? And so there's a lot of the prompt dynamics that are letting the LLM have a context as to what you're seeking. I want you... And also, by the way, telling it who it is in the exchange. You are... a scientist, you are a teacher, you are a Buddhist, you are whatever. It doesn't make it what you want to set, but giving it rules and contexts as to the kind of response and conversation you want to have are all vital. And the funny part about us as humans is I would never do that with you, JV. I would never say, oh, by the way, JV, you're a male and you're white and you're like, I would never describe you to you because I assume you know you. But that's not the case with an LLM. The LLM is somewhat of a blank sheet to a large extent in the first interaction. And the more context you give it as to what you want it to be and the kinds of responses you want from it, the better it will be. As simple as that.
So we have just a few minutes and then we're going to go to break. So what are some specific steps that any entrepreneur listening today can utilize to use these exponential technologies simultaneously to create more wealth and to impact humanity at a higher level?
Sure. I would, the key word is begin and play, right? Like, don't expect this to be some, you know, genius thing that's going to tell you all the answers to everything, but we need to get, in order to understand the possibilities, you need to begin the conversation. And whether it's using Poe or Qualany or Pi or ChatGPT or Llama, blah, blah, blah. By the way, there are hundreds of LLMs out there now. Like, everyone knows ChatGPT, but there are many, many, many others. And choose a platform, choose an event. And by the way, tons of them are free. You don't have to, you know, pay $20 a month to get access to this. And begin any conversation that you would have with a colleague or a friend on working on a problem, continue to do that, but also have it with an AI. And you'll be shocked at the epiphanies and the insights that it will occur.
So I like the prompt with a breath. What's another prompt? How would you approach if you're asking about some aspect of your business and maybe you want to ask about how do you get to fast growth? And another one might be, how do I impact humanity, you know, more consistently in a higher level? How might you word those prompts?
Yeah, I mean, I would first make sure you give context. Hey, ChatGPT, here's the business I am in. I do this, I do this, I do this. Here's the way that we do it. Here's how many employees I have. Here's how much revenue we generate. Here's how we generate the revenue. Educate the tool. Give it all the context you can. And then say, and I'm seeking to expand my market audience. I'm seeking to fix, I want to see what we do, how that can help in climate change or blah, 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 whatever it is. So, you know, like a human, you got to bring them up to speed and then you got to continue to ask questions. And when it gives you an answer that you like or don't like, tell it. Nah, that's not really what I was looking for. I'm hoping more like this. Or, yeah, that's good. Could you please expand on that? Or of the three options you just gave me, option two sounds great. What if we added blah, blah, blah? Treat it as a conversation as you would with a colleague or a friend, and go down the rabbit hole. And you know, it's and until you play with it, you'll never understand what we're talking about. You just got to start playing with it.
Well, I'll say one of the things we did actually about 2 months ago, month and a half ago, is I got, you know, I said, this is what I want to accomplish over a year. All right. So we asked ChatGPT and gave it the context. This is the business we're in. These are the kind of services we provide. Right. How would we create X million in 6 months? And then we asked how the same thing, how would we do it in 12 months? And it gave us all kinds of different options to do that was like a menu. And then it could go, 100%. Oh, this one fits with who I am and what I want to do. This one doesn't. I don't really want to go down that. But it really gave us a great overview to think about how to build at a much higher level. And there was just a menu of options. Which ones do we want to do?
And by the way, it doesn't end there. So if it gave you a menu, you would say, okay, terrific. Can you please produce a project plan for the next 6 months as to what we should do on a daily basis? I mean, literally, you can, it keeps going. You can go and say, I need a budget for that plan. So I've got a budget of $50,000. And over the next 6 months, I want to spend it to manifest the suggestion that you just gave me. How do you think we should approach that? Yeah. like you just keep going down the rabbit hole. Like, it is amazing. And that's the, I think the one thing that people haven't grasped yet is it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You can keep using the, you can then say, okay, great. I've got the project plan. I've got the budget. What marketing messages should we start with? And in the various social media platforms available, which messages should go with which platform? like you just can just keep asking it. And sometimes it'll give you great answers that you love. And sometimes it won't. And you just, you have to let it know. No, I don't agree with that. I don't like that for this reason. Or I love that. Can you expand on that? Can you expand on that? Literally, you should be typing that a lot. Please expand.
And you really hit an important nuance there. I don't like this for this reason, because if you and I were having a conversation, that's what we would say.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
We're here with Roy Vella. Stay tuned. There's so much more ahead. We'll be right back. Entrepreneurs, what is the Money Tree Audio, and how can it help you manifest more money now? Find out by getting the Money Tree Hypnotic Audio today. It's my free gift to you as a listener today. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/Money Tree. That's right. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/Money Tree. Welcome back. I'm J.V. Crum III, host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. Today, it's the Future is Now episode with our featured guest, Roy Vella. And yes, it's time for the 24-hour challenge. Roy, what's the challenge you have for everyone listening today?
The challenge I would present is begin. In the same answer to the question I gave you earlier, drop what you're doing, go pick up your iPhone or whatever device, whether it's a laptop or whatever, pick a platform. Doesn't matter what, pick ChatGPT. As I mentioned earlier, you could use Poe or Pi or Call Annie, or I mean, there's a million out there. It's easy to find a list of LLMs that are available for free, and have a conversation. Have one conversation with an LLM today about a problem that you're facing, whether it's in your work, in your life, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. And make that conversation at least 15 minutes long, better if it's longer. The longer you can go, the better.
Yep.
And I will tell you, epiphanies will come.
Well, I've been working with my schedule because, well, part of the reason I work with my schedule is I like to pretend they're more than 24 hours in a day, but so far I have not been able to discover that. but, you know, I'm working in to end the day with an hour with ChatGPT for generative ideas to come up. You know, this is, folks, this is genuinely working on your business, not in it. And everybody knows who's an entrepreneur, we need more on it than in it, right? Yep. Well, yep. You know, if you're a longtime listener, you know what I'm about to say. And if you're new, well, I hope you enjoyed as well, because this is my favorite part of the show, because I get to tell you I love you and care about you. And I am a man who genuinely wants the best for everybody on this planet, and that certainly includes you. I want to help you create much more wealth by making that difference that really will make your life feel like it matters. And out of all that, get a life that's happy, that's joyful, that's fulfilling for you. I also want to thank all of our listeners and friends in San Francisco and London, England. And now it's time for the Conscious Millionaire Future of Tech questions. And Ward, we're going to start with mindset. I think that's where everything begins. That's where it all flows from. What's the mindset you've developed that helps you discover your best business opportunities?
I would say never assuming that I know. I used to, earlier in my career and advising people younger in my career, I used to say, well, obviously. And obviously implies that they know what you know already. And the reality is they've had a different life than I've had, and vice versa. I don't know what they know and they don't know what I know. What's obvious to me is not obvious to them, and vice versa. So I think it comes down to curiosity and not assuming you know all the answers. The more intriguing you find life and humans, the more you're going to learn. And there's always more to learn. I don't care if a person is in high school, I have something to learn from them.
I love that approach. Well, you know, this is my limitless mindset question, because I help entrepreneurs create a limitless mindset so they can play at a much higher level. And this question has produced so many interesting answers. I'm in my second year of asking it. If you were to become a billionaire within 10 years, what impact must you make on humanity? Which is really asking, what's the problem you solve at a scale that gets you to a billion? And who must you become, Roy?
Me personally, or you just personally. In general?
Personally.
Me personally. I think it's impacting. I think it is creating value for individuals, you know, one at a time, right? That you are creating value that people go, okay, yeah, that's worth it to me.
So what's the specific value you would create?
I am spending a lot of time in deep tech, and a lot of it is environmental. So I think the climate change situation that we're in is serious. And the more I can help people manifest the solutions that I'm seeing, you know, the scientists, the inventors, the engineers, bringing it to market, whether it's energy, transportation, agriculture, you name it, there's a whole bunch of different proposed solutions out there. And what we need now is implementation and getting them live and expanded in the market. It's about that.
I concur, because I just went to a renewable energy conference that's once a year this last weekend. And I would say my two takeaways was that I had underappreciated the value of hydrogen in this clean tech world. And yeah, not just the value of it, but the investment potential in hydrogen. Sure. And yeah, I was not aware, I have to say, that for us to have all this clean tech and, you know, solar and wind being distributed all over the country, we actually need a new grid. So I was unaware of that, and that made me much more aware of really one of the biggest hindrances to us building out clean tech is that we must have a new grid that at the conference was estimated at $2 trillion. But you and I know, in today's world, $2 trillion is not really that much money. It's not like something that can't be overcome or paid for.
Exactly.
You know, what's a tech strategy that service or tech entrepreneurs can utilize to scale rapidly?
For me, scaling is all about leverage. It's all about finding the ability to put the least effort in to get the maximum effect. I'm often telling startup guys, like, you can fish in the ocean with a line, but you'd rather fish in a barrel with a net, right? So find out where your customers are, and don't be afraid to do channel deals, like to do partnerships. If you find out that who you want to serve is also being served by this other company doing this other thing, use them as a channel. Say, look, I'll give you 20% of the revenue for all the new customers I get, or whatever the economics are that work for you. It's much cheaper than trying to establish brand and trust and find customers one-on-one by yourself. It doesn't mean that later on you can't go direct to customers and change your strategy, but getting off the ground as a startup, leverage trust. Trust is the hardest thing to build. It takes time and energy and effort and budget. And if someone already has trust, I mean, believe me, every salesperson on the planet wishes they had one more thing that they could sell to an existing customer because that customer already trusts them.
Yep. Right? Absolutely. You know, if we look out 20 years, in what ways do you think tech will have positively impacted and uplifted humanity?
Oh, God. I mean, look, I'm a techno-optimist. I think technology can solve a ton of problems if we do it correctly. You'll see on my LinkedIn, it says skeptical optimist. I'm also, you know, I'm not believing that everything is all good all the time. But I think if we embrace technology and embrace AI, there are solutions for all of the major problems that we're solving. And we need to, I mean, look, we live in the safest, best time ever. People go, oh, God, you know, the world is dangerous. I'm like, yeah, kind of. But 100 years ago, or maybe even, you know, maybe 200, if you want to be generous, I wouldn't leave the house without a weapon, right? Like you would be crazy to go outside without some sort of self-defense protection. And most of the developed world doesn't walk around with a weapon these days. I mean, and the density of humanity, right? I mean, you think about it. We live in miraculous times, and frankly, in my opinion, it's only going to get more so.
Yep. What's the biggest challenge you're facing right now as an entrepreneur?
Biggest challenge I'm facing? I think, so I am presently, I work with a lot of startups. I'm a junkie in that regard, mentor, advisor, board member, angel. Like, I love that creative problem solving, but I'm also personally looking to sink my teeth into something and own and run a team again. That's ready to scale. As I said, like I'm looking for a scientist, inventor, engineer, who's got some core technology that, they just don't know how to bring to market, you know? And so my biggest challenge is the timing of finding that where I go, okay, I love your technology. I love your team. Let me help you grow it dramatically. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of great companies and it's all about different dynamics, you know, timing matters. There's no question.
Timing is important. You know, yeah, totally. Roy, what's a book you'd like to recommend for entrepreneurs?
Yeah. God, there's so many great books to read. For entrepreneurs, I think you need to understand AI, ML, big data, where the world is going. And so I'm in the midst of The Coming Wave by Mustafa Soliman, and I would highly recommend it. I mean, I'm only halfway through it. But even if you just read the first half, I think it's a fantastic book to deeply understand where we are and where we're going.
So I'm curious, what's the legacy you want to leave?
Oh, gosh, make the world a better place for my children and their children. I'm part of a group called Planet Positive, and I think that kind of says it all on the tin, right? Make the planet a bit more positive in any way that you can.
Well, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for showing up. As you know, as I frequently say, there are no accents. I think this is exactly what you needed to hear exactly right now. And the big question is, exactly how are you going to put this into your business, implement it to grow your business, make a bigger difference, and get that life that'll be happy and joyful for you. I look forward to connecting with you on the next Conscious Millionaire. And Roy, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
My pleasure, JV. Good to see you again.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Millionaire Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributors, and broadcast media make no claims that the strategies and information discussed in the show will result in profits and may result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not necessarily represent those of the owner, staff, management, or broadcasters of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. You're advised to seek counsel on matters related to your business, financial investments, or other legal matters from licensed advisors. Always consult your physician or licensed health advisor prior to making any changes in your diet, exercise program, and implementing any health strategies or information discussed on the shows. Not all information provided may be suitable for your situation. As always, take full responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the responses that they create in your health.
Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the show for entrepreneurs and coaches who want to increase profits and make a positive impact. With your host, internationally renowned business coach, profit expert, and number one best-selling author, J.V. Crum III.
Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the show for purpose-driven entrepreneurs and executives who want to create wealth and impact humanity. Now in our 10th season, the Conscious Million Network has over 4,000 episodes that's been heard by 100 million listeners. I'm your host, J.V. Crum III. Thank you for tuning in to the Conscious Millionaire Show. Hi, it's J.V., and I'm so excited you joined me because you know this is more than a podcast and syndicated radio show. It's an entrepreneurial training especially for you. And if this is your first time checking out Conscious Millionaire, a huge warm welcome. That got to be a really big hug for you. I just want you to know that. I hope it's amazing. And if you're a longtime listener, thank you for checking out this special featured episode. Either way, you can subscribe absolutely free by going to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. Now help me welcome our featured guest. He's a master coach and spiritual guide. After growing up in a meditation community and living in a dojo for 2 years as a martial artist, Nathaniel became an executive coach to mid-market CEOs and their teams. He now offers exponential coaching programs to legacy-minded leaders. My guest today, Nathaniel Chalkin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, JV. Happy to be here with you.
Where are you heralding from today?
We are based in Santa Barbara, California.
Well, so I love Santa Barbara. I've been to Santa Barbara a million times. And it's one of my favorite places. I mean, you know, this will sound kind of quaint to you maybe because you live there, but they have great farmers markets as well in Santa Barbara.
They have some of the best in the world. It's true.
They're wonderful.
I just took my uncle there. Yeah.
Yeah. So Santa Barbara's a great place. You grew up in Fairfield, Iowa. What was that like?
Fairfield is an amazing community. You know, it's the home of consciousness-based education and transcendental meditation. And it really was a spiritually integrated community. It wasn't a commune per se. We, you know, had college prep high school, so it was buttoned up in that way. But before and after work, every day, we meditated in large groups together. So it was just 200% of life, as we like to say, the balance.
Well, you know, today we're going to talk about taking that inner hero's journey, exponential impact, and how that helps you unlock your human potential, become a better leader, become a better entrepreneur, perform at a higher level, so you can literally both make more money and make more impact, bring the two together. What is the inner hero's journey to you?
It's a great question. So many people are familiar with and love Joseph Campbell, right, who coined the phrase, the hero's journey. And he basically had this thesis that there was a monomyth, like through all cultures, traditions, religions, there's really one story going on. And that is the story of human development, we might say. And many people are familiar with the first version of that hero's journey. And Star Wars is a great example of that. The first movie where Luke blows up the Death Star using the Force and everyone cheers and celebrates. That's what they call the slay the dragon myth. You know, you're conquering an outer enemy. And that's just the first step. The second step is the inner hero's journey. And this is where the moment of Luke, I am your father occurs. So that outer enemy somehow is intimately related with an enemy that's inside of you, and you can't conquer that enemy.
And for anybody who might not have watched Star Wars again in the last 30 days, that's Darth Vader.
Yes. So there's a realization that the enemy is within, and that when you hit a wall in your outer hero's journey, it bounces you into a confrontation with your own unconscious self. Jung called that the shadow. And that requires a completely different kind of strength than the conquering strength. It requires vulnerable strength. It requires doing the inner work, not just the outer work. But of course, the reward for doing that inner work is that you can break through to the next level in your outer hero's journey.
So becoming a great entrepreneur, performing at your highest level, building the business, bringing the team together, it seems to me it requires both kinds of energy, the outer work and the inner work.
200%, as we said. So there's something synonymous with leadership, or we might say conscious leadership, and this kind of self-reflection or inner work. Because as a leader, you can't say who hired all these idiots. That would be you once again. Your organization is a mirror for your leadership. The question is, how conscious are you of the type of leadership, of the wake that you lead? And unless or until you're willing to empower your team, your immediate team, literally to freedom of speech,
right,
so that they can say what they're thinking and feeling, but not saying, you're still leading from ego. You're leading in a way from unconscious, from the unconscious. When you get triggered and those old habits kick in, you end up getting the culture that you deserve.
So it's interesting because tongue in cheek, leading from ego is claiming, I'm going to put it in a nuanced way, claiming to be the hero, but you haven't yet become the true hero.
Yes, and there's data to back this up. 80% of people who work in an organization say that they talk about their boss behind their back, their boss's blind spots. And of course, they don't communicate that directly. And that coincides with another data point that of people who are asked if they are self-aware leaders, only 20% of the people who say they are actually demonstrate self-aware competencies.
So let's talk about, you're an entrepreneur, you're listening today, and you're listening because this is, you know, the Limitless show that we do every week. And it's all about human potential, which is a place that I live. I live partly in human potential and partly in the world of business numbers, because that's just who I am. But ask yourself, who must I allow myself to become from an awareness standpoint in order to become the best leader, the best entrepreneur, build the company in the best way, engage my people in the best way? And Nathaniel, what is your reflection on what entrepreneurs must allow themselves even to experience? And I'll reference yesterday, I was talking to someone about working with me, okay? And I pay very strong attention to everything anybody says. And they decided to exit and not finish the conversation, even though they came to a second conversation to have this. It wasn't like it's a mystery we were going to talk about this. That's what they wanted to talk about. And all of a sudden they said, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And what I wanted them to do was forget, this isn't a sales pitch. Would you just sit with the uncomfortableness, right? But it was too uncomfortable to sit with. And I think that's the opposite of what, you know, and I'm not giving you any, you know, any way to identify this person. It's just an experience. But if we can't sit being uncomfortable, how do we ever grow and become that leader and entrepreneur that inside we really want to be?
Yeah, this has everything to do with what Robert Keegan, who's a developmental psychologist at Harvard, calls this shift in the hero's journey from the self-authoring mind, where we solve problems, to the self-transforming mind, which is about the problems that solve us. So if we're irritated by everything that bothers us, then how can we work on ourselves? And you can think of it as an operating system upgrade. You as a leader need to upgrade your own operating system in order to get different results. And you can think about consciousness in that way as well. If you have more consciousness, we sometimes use the football analogy. If you're in the game and on the field, you can't even see yourself, much less what the coach up in the press box can see. So this has everything to do with seeing yourself differently so that you can actually see the marketplace differently.
And to follow on that metaphor, if you're in the game, you're the quarterback, really you're in not necessarily the best position to call the play, because exactly, you don't have all the information you'd have had you transcended all the other players and you were 20 feet up even, you'd see it from a different perspective. Totally
exactly,
different perspective.
Which is why we need a coach.
Right.
Because, you know, they don't call it the unconscious for nothing. You know, they say the eye can't see the eye. So we need an outside perspective to see our own blind spots, biases, even to look at the results. Like football players look at the game film in order to get an objective perspective. And this is what Robert Keegan talks about too. Whatever subject has to become object. Otherwise, we're just the fish in the water. We can't see ourselves. We don't know what water is. So
right. And I use that analogy a lot. The fish do not know they're swimming in water.
Exactly.
They can't. So let's get down to some practical pointers. You're an entrepreneur. You're listening today. I know that you want to know, well, what can I do in this particular area of human potential? What can I do to be able to sit with greater awareness so that I can actually develop and become the entrepreneur I actually want, the next level. Because wherever you're at right now, it doesn't matter how much revenue you're bringing in. What matters is what's the next step? What's the next level? And to me, the entrepreneurial game is wonderful because it requires us to look in the mirror and see ourselves. We can't play the game without doing that. I call it the Zen mirror. That's just how I like to call it. But we have to be able to look at ourselves if we want to grow and build our businesses, because the businesses are not going to build with us staying in the same place. That's very difficult. So what are some ideas that entrepreneurs should be focused on?
Yeah, so if we come back to this notion of confronting the shadow self, the part of ourself that we can't see, we either need a mirror or we need a coach or both. And one of the ways that you can get clear on this pretty quickly is to look at what emotionally triggers you. And there's that old expression, when you point the finger, there are these three inconvenient fingers pointing back at you. And that, you know, if you write down your core values, you'll notice that you don't always walk the talk. And then if you look at what triggers you, what you're complaining about, then that can be the mirror into the gaps that you have between your own walk and your talk. And if you empower your team, again, to freedom of speech, to tell you the truth, which, by the way, is a very challenging thing to do, you can make that shift that we talk about. From, you know, The Last Dance, for example, is about Zen basketball and team flow. And the original strategy had everything to do with get the ball to Michael Jordan. He won all the points and all the accolades, but the team never won a championship. As soon as Phil Jackson came in and brought up mindfulness and broke down the individual egos, I mean, think about Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, huge egos on this team, as they were start to be able to trust each other and pass the ball to the person with the high percentage shot, then of course the team started winning championships. So that's the metaphor. Like, first practice looking at yourself in the mirror against your own core values. And if you want the next level challenge, empower your team to do that. And you're going to go from being the one up to one down with your team to harnessing the full potential of your team.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back with Nathaniel Chalkin. His website, if you want to check it out, is awakeningleadership.org. We'll be right back. Big shout out to all entrepreneurs. Now, a quick question. Wouldn't you achieve your goals much faster if you stayed on track all day long? Well, of course you would. Everyone would. And to reprogram your mind so you can achieve your goals much faster, get your number one priority hypnotic audio now. It's my free gift to you today. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/priority audio. That's right. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/priority audio. Welcome back. I'm J.V. Crum III. I'm the host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. Today, it's the Limitless Performer Edition. And my featured guest is Nathaniel Chalkin. His website, awakeningleadership.org. It's time for the 24-hour challenge. And Nathaniel, what is the challenge you have for everyone listening today?
So one of these challenges that is fitting right in with this notion of working with team dynamics is what I call perspective taking. So if you want to empower your team to freedom of speech, practice this one tool. What I hear you saying is, did I get that right? So when there's tension or disagreement or you're gridlocked, to bring that practice into the mix of mirroring what you hear someone say to their satisfaction. And then part two, checking to see, did I get that right? That alone will break through so much polarity. And we'll start to empower your team members to feel like they can actually say what they're thinking and feeling, but not saying.
Can you give us an example of either your team or a team you've worked with and the kind of breakthrough they got from doing that particular exercise?
I was facilitating a YPO forum yesterday. And to translate this into non-specific terms, they had a tension that they were working with. And it was an argument with the director of a board that one of the CEOs was sitting on. And so we were able to role play taking that person's perspective with this sentence stem specifically. So it had to do with whether to hold a media event. So we went into the nitty gritty of that specific conflict. And it's like, who gets to say whether I've heard you? Well, obviously you do. And who gets to say whether you've heard me? I do. So we practiced that. What I hear you saying is, did I get that right? And I call it playing catch sometimes. Once the person answers with one word, yes, then you switch. And then the other person has their turn. And this is so helpful for breaking through all the polarity that we find. There's so much breaking into camps of us and them, or right and wrong. And this is one way, you know, it goes all the way back to the notion of arguing both sides. Plato talked about this, and that you're not actually thinking until you're arguing both sides. You know, John Stuart Mill said, he who knows only his side knows little of that.
Well, you know, one of the things that has, you know, helped me, I've got these multiple graduate degrees backgrounds, including psychology, but it was really law school. Because law school is the process. There's only three things that happen in law school. Since most people haven't been there, I'll just let you know what they are. One is you get really good at spotting the central issue upon which everything's going to turn. Mm-hmm. Second thing is you get really good, if you'd like an A, of arguing both sides equally well. And since the professors have a habit of creating hypotheticals that are intentionally meant to charge you emotionally, you have to let go of all that charge while you're taking the test, or you're not going to do so well. And then the third thing is you have about 36 classes, and each one you learn some substantive law. And I think most people think that's what you get out of law school. I think it's the least important part. I think the first important part is spotting the issue. And when I'm coaching people, I just listen. And what's the issue that's holding them back, or that their business, if we just made this one shift, would probably grow twice as fast, right? What's that one issue? And I really think that I'm bringing it up because I think that's the process of being mindful and aware. Is you're kind of just being aware and allowing that one shift to come into your mind. And you don't even have to ask for it. You can just be mindful, meditate, which I know you do, and just sit in silence, which isn't very far away from meditating, and just be. And then notice what is it that comes up. Now, I'm going to tell you a truth that I know Nathaniel and I will definitely agree on. It's a lot easier to do that process if somebody else is looking on.
Even the best friends do not operate on themselves.
That's right. You know, I just hired a new coach for a couple of months to achieve a particular result. Why? Because they're going to look on. Now, I have awareness and I'll help, but it's a much easier to achieve that specific outcome if someone's looking on and going, oh, this is one area you might change. Change that one habit. Change that one belief or that one perspective. And you're going to see this all differently. You go, oh. Right. So that to me is one of the biggest values of coaching, especially transformational coaching, is that we're trained to listen and to notice. And you just can't see your blind spots very easily. That's just the way we're built as human beings. We got them, and by definition, they're blind because we don't see them. That's the definition of blind. We are not looking at them and we're not seeing them. You know, let's talk about the billionaire question. If you were going to become a billionaire within 10 years, what problem must you solve for humanity, and how is that going to make humanity better? And then who must you become?
Yeah, I've given this a lot of thought, and my purpose really does revolve around the answer to this question. The problem itself is the meaning crisis. We have a crisis of global mental illness, of depression, of suicide. It's the problem, one could say, of materialism itself. 18% of Americans are clinically depressed, and they say you need to be 6 out of 10 qualifiers to actually be certifiably depressed. But what if you're just 5 out of 10? Like, what are you then? Just miserable? So this has to do with the betterment of well people as well. And so from the standpoint of what we know now to be the psychedelic renaissance, there are many plant medicines that are not yet legal, but are in the process through MAPS and other organizations of being rescheduled because they have profound exponential therapeutic impact. People say 5 years of therapy in 5 hours. And so to build a business on the one hand that helps people have access through their healthcare within the mental health system, and through the what we call might call the left-hand path of religious freedoms, that there can be spiritual communities that offer these plant medicines to people in the context of mystical experience. And that has legalized itself within the Native American church with peyote, and also the Santo Daime and UDV churches, which use have a limited use of ayahuasca.
So if you were going to work on that problem, who must you become, either qualities you've yet to develop or skills you've yet to develop, so that you can become a leader leading that movement?
Yeah, so I think this does come back to what we were talking about. Like, I need to eat my own cooking as a coach. I can't just coach everyone else and be the wounded healer, as Jung would say. I have to be in the process of making my own unconscious conscious. So I need to be in the practices that I'm facilitating other leaders in, and also bringing that to my own leadership team. And that fundamentally has to do with a shift from not just objective knowledge, knowledge of things out there, but to the shift to self-knowledge. And also to heal the crisis of faith that exists within me. You know, do I trust in life? And what are my own journeys telling me about what my purpose is and how to live into that? I think that's what's so interesting, is there are kind of, it's important to use your rational faculties, but it's also important to have sources of inspiration beyond the rational that are intuitive or mystical. So I think me continuing to make that shift within myself is the way forward.
Well, I know this next question is going to excite you, because I know you are a man who lives in personal practices. That's what you're about, especially when you come from Fairfield. What's the a personal practice you use so that you perform at your highest level?
Yeah, so with all the talk of the shadow, and you know, they don't call it the unconscious for nothing, and how do you see the what you can't see? Shadow work, or what I call deep self-inquiry, which is my particular brand of inner work, that is the core practice that we have, that we start leaders with, that is not just a spiritual practice of mindfulness or self-reflection, but it is also the psychological process of picking up the mirror and looking in it. How do I, you know, that sculpture of the sculpture chiseling itself? Mm-hmm. How do I use what's out there as a way of peering into the unconscious so that I am the hero on that inner hero's journey, up-leveling myself?
Well, I know you have a couple of books you'd like to recommend to entrepreneurs. Could you talk about each of those?
Yeah, so as I left my job as an executive coach after 6 years to come out to Santa Barbara and start our own leadership and organizational development firm, this white paper came out called The Deliberately Developmental Organization, or DDO for short. The book came out the first year I was in business. It was a perfect textbook. It's called An Everyone Culture, and that is by Robert Keegan, who's the developmental psychologist I mentioned before, and Lisa Leahy. And our mission was simple. You know, I was part of coaching a one-year integral leadership program for middle market executives. And a year is a long time. It was a transformational program, but then the problem with that was then we waved goodbye to them and sent them back to their companies. So I wanted to, what we call disrupt leadership training, which it says in this DDO book, what if leadership training wasn't a start and stop thing? What if it was continuous and a part of the culture? And what if it was for everyone, not just for the people at the top? Of course, as someone who grew up in a sangha, a meditation community, and someone who grew up in a dojo, a martial arts community, Of course, you don't get better in a weekend training. You don't get your black belt in 3 hours. So for me,
is that why I did judo for a year and I still didn't have the black belt? Is that, I always wondered.
Funny that, huh?
I always wondered.
They didn't give you your black belt after a year?
They did not. Well, maybe that was the problem. It took longer.
The mastery path, the long game of leadership development, and specifically this notion of a community of practice. It's, if someone said to me, I did a jiu-jitsu training, I'd be like, great, did you become a member? Did you sign up? Are you going to go train 4 or 5 times a week? And maybe after a year, you'll get, you know, the first couple stripes on your belt.
What's the biggest challenge you have right now in your business?
So when it comes to the world of plant medicine, it is the legalization issue, because it's not legal yet. You know, going to places where it is, like Costa Rica or Jamaica, it's harder both to sell multi-night retreats in foreign countries, but also that no matter how much I communicate this long game of leadership development and being a member in a forum or a community of practice of some kind, people still see me as being in the retreat business, like I'm selling one-off retreats. Yeah. And that's just really, it's hard to communicate to people who have a commoditizing mindset. They want to go take plant medicine and move on, when really what I'm inviting people into is this long game journey of conscious leadership.
What's the best way for listeners to get a hold of you?
So you can go to awakeningleadership.org and reach out to us there, or just Nathaniel.Chalkin on Instagram and send us a message through either of those.
I know the work you're doing is both powerful and meaningful for you and for your clients. It's for both of you, right? Because I do transformational work and I grow from every session I do with someone, because it touches pieces in me for me to be able to touch pieces in them. It's just required. It's part of the work. What's that legacy that you want to leave?
So the legacy here too is twofold. It has to do with spiritual integration. So on the one hand, we've been bringing consciousness into organizations for many, many years, 20 years, maybe my whole life since I was raised in it. And I want to continue to do that and to help leaders awaken, transform, and have really legacy impact. The second part of it is bringing that conscious organizational work that we've been doing for so long in and around plant medicine, so that the spiritual communities that are responsible for democratizing direct experience, mystical experience, are also run with integrity, that they have conscious leaders and conscious cultures.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. As you know, every show is designed for you. It's designed to take you to your next level. It's designed to help you make more wealth, impact the world in a way that's purposeful and meaningful to you, and get a life that's going to be happy and joyful and fulfilling for you. I look forward to connecting with you on our next Conscious Millionaire. And Nathaniel, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
Thank you so much, JV. It was really a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Millionaire Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributors, and broadcast media make no claims that the strategies and information discussed in the show will result in profits and may result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not necessarily represent those of the owner, staff, management, or broadcasters of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. You're advised to seek counsel on matters related to your business, financial investments, or other legal matters from licensed advisors. Always consult your physician or licensed health advisor prior to making any changes in your diet, exercise program, and implementing any health strategies or information discussed on the shows. Not all information provided may be suitable for your situation. As always, take full responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the responses that they create in your health.